wish to greet you this evening in the precious name of Jesus. Count it a privilege to be here and to worship with you. Some faces I know, some faces I don't. Appreciated the devotional. While he was speaking, my mind went to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. The subject tonight is that of love and respect in the home. I believe that it's only possible to produce the love and respect that God wants us to as we follow the gospel. Now, there are those who may not claim to be Christians, and yet they follow the blueprint of God's word, at least some of it, and are able to make it through a marriage relationship. Things have changed since I was young one time and dating. It's not uncommon for 16-year-olds to start a courtship. I didn't. My parents would not allow me to do so. I needed to wait till I was 18. And I think that's good. And yet I don't believe in long courtships. I think we need to be ready as young men to know what the responsibility is, to know what the privilege is, and then to know how to carry out our responsibility as husbands and fathers in the home. I think it's important to be spiritually mature. We may be physically mature at a younger age, but are we emotionally? Are we physically mature? In Proverbs 1:27, except the Lord build the home, the house it says here, they labor in vain that build it. Within us, we do not have the love and respect that we need to have in our relationships in the home. They do not come naturally. And so we need to find them. We need to get them somewhere. And of course, our Father in heaven and the Son, Lord Jesus, is quite ready to give us that which we need, except they give us that. Will we be able to build the home that we should build? I think young people ought to look at the home, look at marriage, as a very serious institution. And rightly so. A lot depends on how we as husbands guide the home. I remember very distinctly, we were married about a year or so when our first son came along. I remember standing there in the hospital, and they handed me this boy, and I held him in my arms, and it struck me. There's a life. There's a soul. And I am his father, and I am responsible. It just struck me very severely, and I pondered that. Doctor told me one time when one of our girls was born, she was crying. We'd gone through the process of childbearing where I was at the hospital and the doctor said, you go down the hall, or the nurse, you go down the hall and you wait down there. If we need you, we'll call you. And we went from that point to where I was allowed in to observe and to see. And this particular occasion, I remember this little baby was crying and crying, and finally the doctor said to the nurse, "Give that child to its father so he can talk to her. She has heard him talking for the last 6 months." That statement challenged me. And so as we think of the home, I think of homes that there's no love there. There's hatred. There's, I don't know what to say, very ungodly words spoken, much disrespect. And to think that there's a child listening to that for the last 6 months, it should cause us to be very serious. How we treat our companions, how we treat our children. Our children never knew much difference than their daddy being a preacher. And I hear preachers saying it's okay. I don't have a problem with it, but for me, I didn't want to do that. I hear preachers go into their room, shut the door, and spend hours in there, which I did, but I never felt comfortable shutting the door. And so it was very interesting to watch our children. They knew where Daddy was, but they knew the door was open. And so I'd be studying, and after a bit I'd hear a few little footsteps coming. And they would come in, and they knew that Daddy was trying to study. And they would come in, and they wouldn't say anything. They would look at me and look at what I was doing, and I would try to look back and smile at them and maybe put my arm around them. They never said much. They went back out. They were satisfied. Daddy was still there. Daddy still loved them. I believe that that was very important for me to do that, being away a lot, and I just felt I needed to be there for them. Yes, they were little children, but I needed to respect them. And I would like to say this, that if you want your teenagers to respect you when they are teenagers, you'll need to start respecting them when they're small. We'll look at some of those things as we go along. Home. Home is where you come in out of the storm. The storm of life. I experienced that. I worked in public works for 20 years. And I experienced the things that are said by ungodly men. I always look forward to going home out of the storm. I think as parents, we need to provide the shelter, the ark of safety in our homes that our children can come in. We can come in and there find the peace. There, the freedom to love and respect your family, to love God, to study His Word. Home is where the Word of God is read and prayer is heard. I believe the Bible would teach that we need to pray for our children, for each other. My father was first generation Christian and Mennonite. And so I'm not critical of that. We do things a little bit different than they did. I respect my father. He was a godly father, and I believe he did what he felt was right. But one thing that I did not hear in my home was my father praying audibly. The only time I heard my father praying audibly was when we went away for dinner. and the host would ask my father to lead in prayer. I heard my father pray. But at home, it was a very customary thing that we prayed silently. I never understood that, but I wasn't critical, and I'm not critical today. Both my parents are gone. But when my wife and I got married, I said, I think we ought to pray audibly in front of our children. They ought to hear us pray for them and pray with them when we tuck them in bed. When there's a home like our home and Daddy's away a lot, I want to give tribute to my wife, and I think it's very important to any wife, mother, who has a father, husband, who is maybe too busy. I give her the credit for her attitude toward me in front of the children, that they never resented me being away. Yes, they would come and say, Daddy, do you have to go to another meeting tonight? Unfortunately, I did. But my wife was able to share with them and build them up in that area. I know of a minister personally who, when he was growing up, and he has shared with me a number of times, when he was growing up, his father was extremely busy. Extremely busy going here and there. Extremely busy in writing literature. And he became bitter. Even after he was ordained to the ministry, he came to me and was concerned about his attitude of the past. And praise the Lord, he has gotten victory over that. We can be too busy. I remember very distinctly at my first ordination back in 1972, the question was asked in the examination, will you see to it that the church supersedes everything else in your life? And I was a little naive then. Still am probably, but I said, no, I won't. Of course, I was called back in, and they were gentle. They said, what do you mean that you won't? Well, I just shared this. I think it's fitting. I said, I didn't know what I was going to do if I was ordained. I didn't know how it would be, but I said, if the Lord calls me to the office of minister, and I run all over the world, no, United States, over the country preaching and lose my family, what have I gained? And my family is still important to me, although they're all gone, they're all married, and in spite of us, the Lord has blessed. But my thought is, we can get too busy in church work and lose our family. If we don't show them the love and respect, they will turn bitter. They will be upset. And I've heard remarks of young people, well, if my dad would have been there, and thus and thus and thus. And so we have two young brethren ordained in our congregation recently. One was 24 and one was 26. And it always comes up. What about, how do I balance my work, my family life, and my church? And that's a very difficult question. But here's what I tell them. You need to decide how much you want to be going. If it turns out that you're called to be an evangelist, you need to decide how many weeks of meetings you're going to take because of your family. because you have a wife, because you have children. And they'll have to decide that. I decided that two revival meetings a year was sufficient and no more. And I tried to stick to that. One time I had three under pressure, and I said I would not do it again. I had a family. I had seven children at home and a wife. Yes, people called, but I said no. And I think we need to balance those things out. We cannot give the love and respect at home if we're not home. We need to be there to do that. Our children growing up need to know, what does love and respect really look like? What's it really like? How does it work? And I think that's our responsibility, especially as husbands, but the wife plays a tremendous part in that also. And so he says, except the Lord keep the house, the watchman watcheth but in vain. We need God's help to be able to see ourselves, to see what I'm like, to see what my home is like. And I need to take it seriously. I need to watch. I need to be watching for signs that maybe I'm a little too harsh, or maybe I'm inconsistent in my discipline with my children. I remember we had a hall. I kind of called the house a motel. We added a piece to it because we had seven children. I remember the hall going back the center of the house to the last bedroom on the right. That's where I went. And you know, that walk back the hall did a lot for me. I don't know what it did for the child, taking a long walk, saying probably, let's get this over with. And it was very difficult for me to come home from work and my wife tell me that one of the children has been very rebellious, and so I need to sit down and talk to them and take them back the hall. I thought about, on the way back the hall, as I go through this process of discipline, is that child going to know that I still love him? I remember one disciplining of a child, and I disciplined him and set him on the sofa, and I was on the recliner beside the sofa. And it wasn't long till he come over to me and nudged up against me. And I didn't say it, but my thought was to pick him up and set him back on the sofa and tell him, look, I said, sit there. But that thought had not passed until I felt the Holy Spirit saying, you disciplined him, now love him. And I did that. I picked him up and set him on my knee. The flesh would like to take control. The flesh would like to be a strong arm person. I'm in control, and sometimes we need to become very firm. But in most cases, I find that, yes, we need to be consistent in our disciplining, and yet they need to know that we love them in all that we do. And so we need to be watching, to be careful. We need to read the Word of God and to study it, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if there's ever a place we need to study that, that's in relationship to our homes, our carnal nature, our responsibility and privilege of being a father, a husband, and being able to establish a home. And we find God's plan for love and respect, the right plan for the home. He knows what he's doing. In responding to the needs of our homes, whether it be the need of discipline or the need of sitting down and discussing some issue, we must be able to do it in respect and love. There's a little saying that I heard recently. A lady went for counseling, and I can't get it together, but the whole thing, he asked her a question and she answered totally different, about three questions, and then he finally said, "Well, ma'am, what's the problem?" She said, "Communication." It certainly is. Communication is a tremendous benefit. Can we communicate? Do we want to communicate? We were wedding in East Berlin yesterday, Pennsylvania, that is, and I told the groom, I told them both, they were both there. Communication is a wonderful thing if we do it, if we communicate with each other. It takes time to communicate. When I was first married, I kind of left my work at work. And my wife said one time, why don't you talk about your work? Well, didn't think she was interested. I left it there. But she was interested, and wives are interested in what we do. How is our day? Communicate. We communicate about our own relationships, any misunderstandings. Don't let a day pass by. And that's in part of the marriage ceremony that we give. Don't let a day pass by with any misunderstandings. Be respectful. You love your wife, you love your husband, and so therefore you want to communicate. You want to be able to understand each other. Live with them, I think it's in Titus. Live with husbands, live with your wives according to knowledge. If I had time, I would get a piece of paper, give you all a piece of paper, and tell you, write down what knowledge you have of your wife. How well do you know your wife? Really? They are different than we are. Their emotions are different. And how are we going to relate and respect our wives if you don't understand her? Maybe you come home and your wife's crying and you say, "What are you crying about?" She says, "I don't know." And you say, "You don't know?" She really doesn't know. Her emotions are different. She may not really know. And so, are we respectful? Or our feelings are tough. We don't have that problem. Why should she have that problem? Or maybe it's a daughter. In her years of frustration, we don't understand. Or a young man in those years of frustration, do we understand? Do we respect? I hear it in the grocery store. I hear it a lot of places. A man hollering at his wife because she's not quite sure, and I'm not sure what the product is, cereal to buy, and he won't help her. Little things like that, the little foxes are the ones that like to creep in and spoil the houses, which are vines. And so I think it's important. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 13, and then we're going to go to our text, which is Ephesians. But I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We all know what it is. It's the love chapter. And I think it says something here to us in relationship to love and respect. He says here in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. What's he saying? We might be a gifted speaker. We might know how to talk. We might know how to say things. And they may be right. But what is the spirit that we say them in? If we don't have love in our hearts for the person we're talking to, it's nothing. It's nothing. It will get us nowhere, even though we may think that we're getting somewhere. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Maybe we can do great things. But is it out of a heart of love? And I'm thinking about the home. I'm thinking about husband-wife relationships. I counseled a couple. It was both of their second marriages. No, I guess it was her first, I'm not sure. Anyhow, as we were counseling them, my wife was there, and I was asking some questions, and it was getting very unhandy. And the one grabbed the other's arm, and I was wondering what was going to happen next. And so I just said, we've got to stop right now. You are not respecting each other. We will not get anywhere if we don't show respect. What am I saying? I'm saying that this carnal nature, this flesh and anger wants to rise up if I don't get my way. It needs to be put under. It comes out of a heart of love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity, love, it suffers long. It's patient. We as men, Bible says, I forget how it says it, something about the wife is the weaker vessel. But you know, when it comes to patience and charity, delicacy and sentimentalism, what else do I want to say? We men are not stronger. Sometimes our wives can show us really what patience is, really what love is, what charity is. It suffereth long and it's kind. Sometimes our wives can show us what kindness is. Sometimes our children can show us what kindness is. It vaunteth not itself up, is not puffed up. I think that's showing us what love is about, how it works. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. And I would like to say this to husbands and wives. Love thinketh no evil. Love will respect each other until proven otherwise. Now, if we conduct ourselves in such a way that we're not quite sure whether we should trust him or her, then we need to communicate. We need to share why we're not quite sure we can trust. Trust needs to be built. And so love will conduct itself in such a way that trust can be built. We can trust each other. We will not behave ourselves unseemingly. We will not be easily provoked. The Bible says, "Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath." Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I believe truth is the foundation on which we build our houses, our homes. There was a man, a brother in our church, lost his wife. I was driving by his house about a week or two, three maybe, and I decided to stop and visit this brother. And it was a good visit. We talked, we communicated. And then he said to me, he said, "My wife never said an unkind word to me." He broke down and cried. He said, "I wish I could say that of myself." Yeah, I knew. I knew that he was not the most easy person to live with, but his wife just humbled herself, did everything she could, and after it was too late, he saw what he should have been doing. Well, let's keep moving on. I mentioned in verse 5, does not behave itself unseemingly, keeps within the bounds of love, is courteous and respectful, seeketh not her own, seeketh the best for others. Our children, we seek the best for them. Not easily provoked. Love is willing to forgive. Forgiveness must be. Is forgiveness easy? No. We forgive because Jesus forgave. As Jesus hung on the cross, he looked down at those soldiers who put him there, drove those nails in his hands and his feet, and he said, "Father, forgive them because they know not what they do." Now, were they still guilty? Were they still guilty for what they did? Yes. But Jesus knew he was going to die, and he wanted nothing in his life to hinder his relationship with heaven. We don't know when we're going to be snatched out. We have no idea. But therefore, we should live in such a way, willing to forgive. Yes, our children. If they come and say, "Daddy, I'm sorry. Mommy, I'm sorry." Well, okay. Let's talk about the lesson, and we certainly forgive you. We certainly forgive you. Thinketh no evil. Does not delight in evil. As fathers, husbands, wives, we do not delight in evil. I'd like to just finish reading. It's time to close. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And so I could go in. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. When we become fathers and mothers, we put away childish things. We begin to think seriously about our responsibility. We marry for life. If it doesn't work, we're still there. We're still there. And I find that some young people are afraid of marriage because of what they see in their own homes. And so they're not really interested in courtship, although deep down in they are. And our homes ought to be homes where they look forward to courtship. They look forward to marriage because they want a home just like their parents' home. And that's the way it should be. Go with me to Ephesians very quickly. Chapter 5. I like to look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Submitting yourselves in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That word is used at least 3 or 4 times in Ephesians, Peter, not sure where they're all at, Titus, your own husbands. And I read a commentary that said that own husband didn't mean anything. Well, I disagree. I believe that you as wives submit yourself to your own husband. I know what it's like, or I see what it's like for wives to work in offices and have to submit to their boss. During World War II is when the downfall of homes because of women working in the factories and so on. That's not probably the only significance of that, but it says it enough times that I think it's there intentionally. Submit unto your own husbands, not somebody else's husband. And submitting sounds like a difficult word to you sisters. I was talking to a husband and wife, and I mentioned about the wives submitting to their own husbands, and the wife looked at me and said, me? Submit to him? You're out of your mind. No, I'm not. It's what the Bible says. And that attitude exists. I don't know how many women may feel that way in the world, but as Christians, I believe husbands, as you love and respect your wife the way you ought to, it's going to make it very easy for your wife to submit to you, because there is her security. There is her protection. There is what she needs. And so we have to do all we can to make it easy for them to submit to us. And that's through love and respect of them. They are our helpmeets, and we need them. And I tell young people that get married, remember, your wife is your helpmeet. Yes, even in the checkbook. I didn't say she controlled it. I said she's your helpmeet. Maybe she'll have to control it if you can't. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a loving husband who respects his wife, who honors his wife, who loves his wife, and who treats her like a queen. Had a brother call my wife one day and say, is the king in? Well, she wasn't sure what he was talking about till she understood who he was. Then she understood what he wanted. And he often say to me, well, are you treating the queen okay? Well, I hope so. She's still with me. No, it's not something lightly to be thought about. It's serious. And we need to treat them as queens. In verse 23, I like the thought, the husband is the head of the wife. And I written in my Bible here that the head, the husband, is the house band, and the wife is the weaver. And they both work together. The husband builds a hedge around his house. He's the house band. He protects it. And the wife is busily weaving the love and respect that she receives from God, from her husband, into those children. Sometimes, well, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and he will not depart from it. And I don't know that we always get that right. Train up a child in the way he should go. We know that spiritually, we know how to train them. But sometimes we have a farm or a business, and we think our children have to take over the business, have to take over the farm, have to be farmers, have to be businessmen, and so on. And they don't want to be. And we need to observe them. We need to help them to find the direction that the Lord seems to be taking them. Each one has a different personality. We had seven of them, and none of them were the same. The one you could look at sternly, and that's all it took. The next one, you might have to take out of church five times in one service, which I did, because the child thought that every time we went out, we went for a walk. We got out of church. Well, he learned that we didn't go for a walk, just for a walk. And that was the last church service that we had problems. Do we love them? Of course we do. And they need to know that we love them. But there are times that we need to discipline them so that they can be lovable. And we love them whether they're lovable or not. And we notice in verse 25, 4, 3, that Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. I mentioned earlier that we can build an ark of safety, and I think we should. Our home should be an ark of safety. What comes into it? We love them because we don't want them doing things. And I'll just say this for what it's worth. Communication is laxing. Probably respect is laxing when we spend most of our time with these little things that we use our thumbs. We don't communicate. There ought to be a time when we put those things away. I tell our young people, you're going to wind up with arthritis of the thumbs. And I think that's true. You can get that way with sewing too. I see our wives have arthritis in the hands and so on. I have it in the back. But to communicate. These things rob us of communicating. Some of the most valuable times that I look back at is when our children at the supper table, it took us quite a while to get the dishes done because we communicated. We visited. We listened to what the children had to say, and they listened to us. I think the wife needs to show love to her husband. I'm not sure where it's at. There's a statement that I use in weddings. I thought I wrote it down here, and I don't see it. Yeah, I do. I usually ask the sister when we marry them that, may your love be the protection that he, as a Christian husband, needs in our world today. I think that's important. I talked about the husband loving the wife a lot, and it's true. The husband needs to set the pattern, needs to do what he can in showing love, but the wife needs to respect and show her love to her husband. He says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be in their own be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What am I willing to give for my wife? What am I willing to give for my children? If they're hurt, am I hurting? I'm a little concerned that there's an idea, and I don't agree with it. And I think it's because medical attention costs so much. But sometimes we let our children lay and do nothing when we should be doing something. I have a nephew and a niece that's both doctors, and I appreciate them. And yes, I know, but I'm one that's not ready to do nothing because I love my children. And I know situations, my barber, he has a sign on the wall. If you see me acting strange, please call this number and then call 911. I'm diabetic, and so I'm concerned about it. I know of people who, because of, and I tell them, I know of several people, I told them all, the husband said, we're not going to amputate. She was born with two legs, she'll die with two legs. I said, okay, that's fine. You love her, you make sure she knows you love her, and you're both in agreement with that, and I'm okay. And she died. And he came to me about 3 weeks later, said, I wish we would have amputated. No, not now. Don't even go there. And so decisions that we need to make them in love. Be respectful. Do what's best. And if you feel led to go that way, I know of people that, because they waited so long, lost their leg, lost their eyesight, and I'm not going to go there. But it's just some thoughts that I have in relationship to our wives and our loved ones. Husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He gave himself for it. Be not bitter against them. They're the weaker vessel, quote unquote. Maybe they can't do everything like you do it. You tell them to put the ladder up or something. That's not their job. And maybe they can't do it like you do. The Bible says, be not bitter against them. I said at the beginning, and I'll say it at the closing, our children see love and respect in action. If they don't see that, then what are they going to do when they get married? How are they going to love and respect each other? I'll say this, love and respect in the home is God's plan for the home, and our wives and children must see from us how it works. And so may the Lord bless you as you go forth as husband and wife. Be not bitter against them, so your prayers be not hindered. And I can tell you, after 53 years of marriage, I love it. I love it. I enjoyed endeavoring to raise our children, but I give my wife the most of the credit because I worked in public works for 20 years while they were growing up. But it is possible. It is possible to live and enjoy the married life. And it's going to be done through love and respect. Shall we kneel together in prayer?